Right.
Well, I think you kind of inadvertently answered the question of how do you grow a community, and I think a really good way to do that is start a conversation. Right. Don't go out going, hey, I want to make myself be big. Go out seeing what other people are doing. Make it a discussion. Make it a community and not just you trying to build yourself.
Right.
I also think with anything, playing small ball, so to speak, is important. Like, you know, I deal a lot with Facebook ads and all that stuff when I promote events. But at the end of the day, and the thing I tell my bands, or, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the comic book I work with, it's more about talking to people and saying, hey, I have a new book coming out.
Right.
It's coming out next Wednesday. It's coming out at Third Eye Comics. You should come.
Right.
And, you know, the percentage turnaround of me doing that is so much higher than me just posting it on Facebook or putting a poster up somewhere. God, I have posters everywhere for everything. And you know what? That's cool. I think all that.
I can't even use the bathroom in Baltimore without seeing a picture of your face.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But
it's weird for me too. Okay.
Hey, I'm smiling and winking at you. I should change it to winking. That'd be kind of weird. I can't use a urinal in Baltimore because Kevin's winking.
One eyed hawk.
But let's go with it. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a small piece. Like, I don't think putting up posters. And I have bands all the time. Like, oh man, I put up posters everywhere and nobody came. I'm like, did you think it's magical? Do you think they're gonna see some local band's name and be like, that captivates me? Like, you need to.
How often do you know, do that personally?
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's
and I don't really know anybody in this area.
Right.
You know, but I think that even an event like this, like, it probably would have been more about who did you tell personally, who's interested in it. Like, I'm serious.
That's
like,
a great.
You know, I'm not. You know, me too. I love this. If I can say anything that's valuable to you guys, it was a great trip for me. You know,
right.
but as far as like any event or a book or. I think playing small ball, so to speak, is actually major league.
Right.
Because it's huge. Like, it really helps.
I'll try to tell.
Building relationships.
Yeah.
Yes. Humanity is
based on, right?
Hold on. One more thing. With what you're saying, I'm sorry. Like, handing out flyers is a big part of my job for the comic book, for events. And I can hand out 1,000 flyers after an event, even if it's relevant. I don't go to events that aren't relevant and hand out flyers because it's a waste of money. Like, but if it's a band that's like that band, I would be better off handing out 20 flyers and being like, hey, did you like the band I played tonight? Yeah, this band coming up, you would probably like them too. My name's Kevin. Right. Spend 10 minutes talking to that person. I'd probably be better off handing out 20 flyers and doing that and meeting people than handing out 1,000 that night, because it just means nothing. It's a piece of paper in their hand. They look at it, probably litter.
Like the download cards.
The download cards? Yeah, you know what? If I was more personable, if I was more personable with the download cards, I could probably get a couple more people to... You know, but I think my heart's not in that. But yeah, I just wanted to contribute that because,
excellent.
You know.
And this is exactly, I think it's fascinating, and I try to be fairly succinct in getting to 2 points related here.
Yeah.
I do play music. I don't like performing, but I love playing music with people.
Right.
So one experience, I play old-time music, and I played at Suzanne and Megan's Appalachian thing.
What do you mean by old-time?
Old-time dance music, fiddle banjo.
Oh, cool. Okay. Nice.
It's old-time dance.
Washed-up bass type situation.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, and that group of people, they invited us to play, and Suzanne wanted somebody to play vaguely something Appalachian.
Right.
We didn't even practice. We got together with some friends
true
of
Appalachian
mine to do that.
Right there.
And she paid us way more than I would have ever... But, I mean, that is so... Those are people that know how to be, what it means to support other artists.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I really just appreciated just the idea. Again, I would have enjoyed playing anyway, but the fact that she really wanted to make it clear that this was a valuable part of the community. So it takes people like that. And the one other thing that I also. In May, starting a year before May, we got this idea. My wife works at Anne Marie Garden, so we had a venue, and we decided to, another fellow and I decided we were going to have a music gathering at Anne Marie Garden. And the way we got 300 people there wasn't putting up flyers, and the library was involved. I got the library to support it, too. So we had library emails and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Is we went to... music gatherings. There's a bluegrass Friday nights at the firehouse. we went to a couple bars where they have open mics, and we shook hands and told them about our event.
Right.
And we got 300 people out.
That's awesome.
And I think it was based on, much more than anything, you know, hey, we love getting together too. And
be real. You gotta be real, right? I mean, right? Yeah, people.
Yeah.
I agree. I didn't know that existed down here. Yeah.
It is hard.
Yeah.
That's what Lisa mentioned. It's an artist, and Megan has moved to, she's moved to North Carolina now. Right, right.
But, it was like you drive through it for Christmas, you let your kids.
There's a lot of different events. But, and it is hard to get, how do you get the word out? That's the, I mean, it's traditional media,
so
even, I mean, putting in the newspaper is.
It's.
Like, everything's dead. Newspapers are dead. I mean, the radio's dying. I mean, it's hard, dude.
I still think that's a cynicism type situation, though.
Yeah, I know, you don't like that.
I don't like it because you know, every system, cycle, process, it evolves, it changes,
yeah.
And what is on top today is on the bottom tomorrow, and what's on the bottom today is on the top tomorrow, and all I want to do is keep doing my thing. Or my 9 different things.
Yeah. Let's be real.
I want to do my 9 different things, and then at some point, you know, when the sun rises and the moon sets, that one item is going to be, you know, the key for a while. Which is, like, aside from the community, what I really enjoyed about Lisa mentioning about poetry, short stories, because. I think that the community conversation is really important. I want to build it and grow it, but I also think that I look at it like this. I'm one person. I'm a single dad. I'm a full-time musician. I do my office work when my kid is in school, and I play out when she's asleep.
Right.
Okay? And I mostly work, you know, shows, either performing or hosting something or... or whatever, we're running sound for a venue, because I don't make my money just from, you know, live performances. But I'm usually working Wednesday through Sunday. And so from a standpoint of, you know where I have to advertise my event at Calvert Library? Last night I played in Bethesda.
Right.
So, like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
where I met people.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Where I ran into people, was in Bethesda.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Thursday night I ran sound at Villain and Saint in Bethesda.
That's all right.
You know, like, not to say that I couldn't get an opportunity to run sound here, but
yeah.
Over the course of my professional career and my resources and the network that I've built, I don't always end up, like, being able to personally spend time at something here in Calvert County that I haven't already orchestrated, you know? I mean, like, this is kind of my one day to try to put something together where we're like kind of congregating and getting together.
Right.
But I haven't had a chance to go to an art gallery showing as much as I'd love to.
That'd be
awesome. Thank you. I'm not opposed to it, and I may very well join you.
They've got
appetizers. Yeah, we'll just do the after party there. All right.
Yeah.
But what I'm almost saying is, like, that's my chance. But, you know, I just kind of scheduled the entire day off to be able to spend here to do this, and didn't put something else in competition with this because I value it. It's important.
Right.
But aside from that, like, I can't just come over to the library and start having one-on-one conversations or handing out cards here all the time, because, to be honest with you, if I'm not on Netflix and if I'm not playing a show, I'm spending time with my family. And then I have all the stuff that everybody else has. You know what's really rock and roll is doing laundry. You know what's really rock and roll?
I'd almost go more hardcore than rock
hardcore,
and roll.
Hardcore, yeah. It's almost metal. It's almost metal.
It's pretty metal, yeah.
On the web, I have a poem called Sorting Laundry. That's gone viral.
Right.
They took it. It was in one anthology, and another. It's all over the place. People I don't know have it on their website.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's awesome.
You will be able to find it
I will. I'm looking it up. I wrote it down.
Sorting laundry.
But everybody has to wash their socks. It's relatable.
Right.
I think that having conversations is also a discipline in the art. So when we come together, whether we have a background in writing or music or writing lyrics, and we're taking that time and dedication, that's a discipline. So we're developing the discipline of our art. Yes.
From my perspective, community is this.
Yeah.
Community is, we've all gotten here together today. We've all had this shared experience. And even though I'm the person that, you know, handcuffed Joe to a chair to moderate, and even though I'm the person that coordinated with Robin to set it up, it's not exclusively my right. Like, I don't own the ability to put together a community where we are trying to talk about ways of growing all the arts. And I'm not unique in this, but I have held the belief for a long time that music is not the end all, even though it's what I'm passionate about. It's not the end all. Music is part of the entertainment industry. And if you're writing poetry or short stories or detective novels, or if you're gonna put out a single or a full length record, or if you're gonna put out a movie, it's the entertainment industry. When was the last time, you saw a movie that had no audio? No music, no words, little boxes would come up on the screen, with Charlie Chaplin. All right? Yeah. The entertainment industry is about taking all of these arts, all of these mediums, all of the different ways that we have the ability to interact with each other, and to put it all together into one cohesive representation. And community is the exact same way. What I would like to see happen is, for Roscoe, I'm pulling you out specifically, because Roscoe said he wants to get back in the scene. So what I want is for Roscoe to go, I thought that this was a really great event. I think we can build on it. I have some great ideas too. I'm going to contact Robin to see if I can put together an event at the library. And Danny, would you help me? Because that would be 10 times easier than me, who's already got my Wednesday through Sunday booked full of shows and trying to sort my laundry. Like, to try to be able to figure out, well, how am I going to make the most? I only have like 4.5 hours of one day a year to try to try to meet people and try to see what's going on locally. But my heart is here. I'm actually pretty effective at home on a computer, to be honest with you, mostly because I've had to learn how to be. I'm not able to have a regular 9-to-5. And you probably know, man, like, gosh, 9-to-5 with kids, especially, I don't know how you'd do it if you didn't have a co-parent relationship going on. I mean, all of a sudden you find out that tomorrow is a 2-hour early dismissal. Where did that come
Changes
from?
Changes everything.
Yeah,
that's happened. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to have a regular job and be a good dad. I had to make music a career, and I had to find ways to monetize it. Okay, in order to be able to spend as much time doing music, which I love to do, and also being a good father, which is something I really love to do as well. I mean, I really enjoy sitting and reading about cats on broomsticks, around Halloween time. Like, it's just, I really do. But community is not about waiting on somebody else to do the work. It just isn't. Community is about we all take responsibility for the fact that we're in this together, and we all need to find ways to be able to establish it and grow it and to build up on it.
It should be a circle, really. I mean, like she was saying too, like, supporting other people is huge.
Right.
And you know what? I not to sound bitter, like, it doesn't come back equally. It doesn't.
Right.
That's not a good reason to do it. If you think it's going to come back equally, you're going to be disappointed, I think. Like, just because you buy somebody else's...
Other ways.
Right.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Cat, but
right.
Something over here happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you're building the community, that helps you.
Yeah.
Even if it's not directly, like, the person that you bought their book, that doesn't mean they're going to buy your book or whatever.
Right.
But if you're helping each other build a community, then maybe a whole bunch of other people are going to buy your book because there's a community now.
I almost always buy a book or a CD. Like, if I'm physically speaking with an author, and it might be after a panel, or it might be after it might be after a presentation, Or it might just be that I've gone up to their booth and they're sitting there and I have a real conversation with them and I found out about the person. I may not know exactly what the book is about when I bought it. I've invested in the human experience that I've had in having that conversation with that person. Mm-hmm. I almost always buy CDs from bands. I've had bands that try to give me CDs or like, I've been at a show one time where I took my daughter and the band was like, oh, your kid came up to our merch booth. We just gave her, you know, a bracelet and a pair of sunglasses. They're cheap. Like, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. And then I'll give them more money for it than they would have charged me for that bracelet and their sunglasses. Not because the sunglasses are really awesome or because that bracelet is really cool, but because I know what it's like to be in a band.
Yeah.
Who's trying to have a personal relationship and like, here's a little kid. Like, yeah, I want all the little children of the world to be happy and run around with sunglasses on and cool bracelets.
Yeah.
But if as an artist, I'm giving all of that stuff away, I know what an impact it can have, like how it all starts to add up. So I'm figuring that if I'm the person that's like, okay, here's 20 bucks for sunglasses and a bracelet and a CD, then they're gonna take that money and also use it to make some other 6-year-old's life like amazing.
And it probably made their day, honestly.
Yeah.
I know, because how hard it is when you're in a band. It's, you know, when somebody does right by you like that, you're just like, this is why I do it, man.
Right.
Not the money. I just that somebody appreciated the sunglasses so much that they wanted to pay for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, what can I get from this band for free? You know.
It's like you went out of your way. You know, number one, you didn't have to entertain my daughter at all.
Right.
You know, with. You know, for any moment of time, and then you let her walk away from the booth wearing a bunch of your merch on it, and it's like, that's really cool, that's very thoughtful, it's very human, you know, and so those are the rewarding experiences. I bought a book from a voice actor at a seminar recently, and then I also bought a book outside of a coffee shop where I had met an author from Virginia who was writing a fictitious story about the French Revolutionary War, and so... I wasn't necessarily like really excited about reading about French Revolutionary War, but I had a good conversation with the woman and it was a book and part of a series and so I went ahead and bought that and she signed it. And so that's like the experience, you know, of selling it. And that community of supporting each other or this instance of the merch, like that's where we support each other financially as a community, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not the same as having a community. And I can see this in you. You've got the Comic-Con experience, you've got the music experience of shows and stuff that you've promoted in Baltimore. I mean, if you have a successful show, it's partly because of you and it's partly because you work with bands who do their jobs and who mutually respect you as a promoter.
Right.
Like, I've booked shows before and I will promote shows and tell people and take out ads, but if bands don't also put out the same amount of effort as you, then it all falls apart.
You're not promoting Elvis.
Right.
Like, I mean, promoting Elvis is easy. Put up a poster.
Elvis tonight.
Yeah. But I mean, these are local bands. People don't know who they are.
Right.
Like, they have to do their part. Like, I mean, like, they have to, you know, go to
Blues Brothers with the speaker on top.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, most people would think that a promoter's job is to tell everybody about the show, and it's true. Like, as if you're going to call yourself a promoter, you have to promote.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the things that I respect greatly about Kevin. A lot of promoters think that if they put a lineup together of people who are performing, and then they take, you know, a generic background of a poster and put the band names on it and post it on Facebook, that's promoting. They've done their job. They put a lineup together. But from the same side, a lot of artists don't know that. What typically happens when Kevin's got a venue like Ram's Head, when Kevin's got a venue like Ram's Head, Kevin's technically responsible to the venue for every aspect of the way that show goes.
Yeah.
And then he's responsible to every artist for the way that they perceive how the show is supposed to go.
Yeah.
But it's Kevin on the line for like the finances. You mean renting out a room?
Oh God, yeah.
Decorations,
Ram says
security,
ridiculous,
promoting.
Yeah.
I mean the graphic design.
Yeah.
Your ticket options, like where you're sending people for your tickets, contracts and agreements and liability and events and like
so
waivers and like riders for contracts for national acts. I mean, so when some unknown band is like going to refuse to sell 15 tickets.
Right.
You know, and they think that by being forced to sell 15 tickets that they're somehow being screwed over, and they're like, "Oh, it's pay to play." What? No, just sell 15 tickets instead of buying them yourself.
Yeah.
And now it's no longer pay to play.
I don't know. I've never sent somebody, like some promoters, if you don't sell a certain amount, they'll send you, I've never done that, send you home, like you're not playing. And you know what, I kind of get that because, you know, you want to talk about pay to play. Pay to play is when I spend $2,500 to open a venue and you don't sell, bring anyone.
Right.
That's me paying for you to play and Nobody cares that you're playing. Like that's,
they
don't look at it from my point. They think it's magic, like, hey, like, you know, this doesn't cost Kevin any money.
They
like,
don't think that you have any risk or liability wrapped up with you being a promoter for a show.
People have tunnel vision about everything in their lives, I think, sometimes. They see what they see their side. And I think that's what's helped me be a good promoter is I was always first and foremost a band member.
Right.
So I just look at it as what can I do to help these bands that would help them sell tickets. And I mean, I think if you're a music artist, you should think big picture and your flyers should describe your music even because, again, you're handing out a flyer. No matter how I try to make them as fancy and cool looking as I can, but it doesn't tell you anything about a local band.
Can't
it might tell you their vibe, maybe.
Right.
But like, maybe it should say like we sound like the Temptations. If I saw that, I'd be like, oh, I want to see that. That'd be awesome if there's a local band sound like. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you really want to make new fans, what's the purpose of your flyer?
Right.
It's it should tell them something about you that's going to interest them, you know, or have some kind of.
If you've got a local band, the first thing you got to do is play out. You got to get out here and play somewhere. Clubs
right.
And get known.
Well,
and we're in a sort of a slump right now because a lot of the bars and clubs are closed, and there's no place for the locals to play anymore. So we might have a shot at, Graham said, get some good bands down there once in a while. The Marine Museum has some good bands once in a while, and they'll bring in a local guy to open and just warm up. But, you know, the local guys, if they don't have any place to put their merchandise table out there, sell the CDs and the t-shirts and the bracelets and sunglasses,
right,
then word doesn't